Welcome back to His Time. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, second time's a charm here, folks. What can I say?
Oh, blessed Monday morning to you.
Listeners, yeah, it's good to be moving one more week here. We've got Christmas coming up Friday, and off we go with the continuing story of God becomes a baby and does his redemptive work for us. Well, he's been doing that a long time. A lot of people think this only happened in the New Testament, but all one has to do is go back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and off we go. So So it's all going to be good and a lot of fun, and I know the children are looking for it. I always try and remind them the presence that they have under the tree is really the important part, is the presence of Christ in your baptized life. So presents are good. Presence of Christ is the best present ever. So there we go.
Indeed. It is it's that time of year. We're in Advent and preparing for Christmas. What do you have for us this week in terms of topics?
I have a couple things here, and some of this is sort of butting off of this chapter of for a book that Dr. Globian at Fort Wayne is writing on sexual ethics, and I'm doing one on transgenderism. But just there's an article that came out of a magazine I read about some of the technology that's going to be coming out in 2016. Now, some people might think, what does this have to do with theology? But it has everything to do with raising children. Has everything to do, and of course, there I would recommend your listeners to go to Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6. Both are easy to remember because they have the same chapter, Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6, about raising children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. And I'm not trying to get too legalistic here, but this, of course, is all through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. So here we have some of the ethical issues that are going to be, I think, of paramount interest to us. Is this new? Now, here we go to the little girls and boys that are talking Barbie. And they want, this doll wants to record conversations she has with your children. Interesting. That's one area that's going to be kind of a highlighted thing. Is that going to be good for young kids? The other one is this thing we've talked about before about gene editing. That is, can we change characteristics of a person before fertilization occurs in the test tube? And of course, that brings up other areas. And this rapid, ongoing, I guess you might say, record keeping of genomes of newborn babies in our digital age, what's going to happen with all of that stuff? And one thing that they're looking at for 2017, now this is really kind of bizarre, is a complete and total head transplants. I know that sounds weird, but we now have uterine transplants that have just started in the last couple of years, and now people are talking about head transplants. So artificial wombs, of course, have always been part of what's happening. They already have artificial wombs to potential to grow a human baby outside the mother's body. Of course, is creating concerns, and so. Those are just some of the things in terms of some of the bioethical issues, but I think all of this turns around about what it means to be human. The other area that briefly to mention is, once again, I know we've talked about this almost perhaps to your listeners at nauseam here, but U.S. clinics are obliged now to offer fertility service to a transgender person or couples. There are no laws regarding transgender. What I mean by transgender, many people think this is cross-dressing. No, this is not cross-dressing, where people just kind of like Deuteronomy 22:5 talks about it, where sometimes men or women like to dress in opposite clothes over a short time period. This is a person like Bruce Jenner who absolutely lives the other opposite person they are. So he was born a man, and he becomes womanized through some surgeries. Although he's not a complete transgender, he didn't have complete sex reassignment surgery, but basically they live it out their entire rest of their life. Some people may have heard about Renee Richards, the ophthalmologist and tennis player who went through complete sex reassignment surgery. Those are transgender people, and it means a lot of different things. But now since a transgender man who becomes at least outwardly looking like a woman but still remains genetically, biologically, body and soul a man, they now have the right to go and create children. And I don't want to get into too much of that, but this is quite interesting because in this whole area, they, and I'm not trying to grind my axe or hack on this, but within the context of the LGBT community, and especially with transgender, they tend to look at sin and grace in a different way. They look at it from one specific way. It's called queer theory. And your listeners may be thinking, yeah, they've heard that word before, but to them it just simply means we're okay. And it's a word that it encompasses the whole lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. And what they mean here is to deconstruct the male and female created order that God brought into Genesis chapter 1 that really doesn't exist in these communities. And so they take a look at sin and they take a look at grace and they redefine them. So sin is no longer, as they say, a crime against God. Sin is just simply not identifying who you truly are. And grace, when they define grace, they get into issues like, well, grace is just simply to love everybody. And these are the definitions of what grace is, because Christ made us this way, and so we have to love everybody. So biblically and theologically, this is really turns out to be an issue of emotivism. Emotional things are running this, and feelings, so that you can be who you want to be and really not violate God's word, since sin is just simply a way of saying, you're not, if you're not admitting that you're really a man or woman in the opposite sex, then yeah, you're a sinner. But if you admit it, you're not. So This may very well turn out to be something that your listeners may not want to engage in much, but it is in the literature and it's becoming more and more prominent, especially up in Palatine, Illinois, in District 211. Now, this is public information, where a young man who dressed as a woman, transgender, and stayed that way, was given his own particular curtained-off area in the women's bathroom, and we had the same thing in Hillsboro. And we've talked about this, but it really needs to be discussed from a theology of creation as well as redemptive, because the redemptive body and soul is not part of what the so-called LGBT theory is all about. That it's let's deconstruct the male and female. That's what they're saying.
It's certainly a tough issue, and I know that we're going to address it coming up in January on Faith and Family, coming up later in January, around the 20th, I believe, on Faith and Family. We're going to take a look at that with a number of other professionals as well. So looking forward to talking more about that topic at that time. It's such a tough issue, and something that continues to be a hot topic in social media and in mainstream media right now as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the issue of being a tough topic simply is because it's one of these areas, as Andy, as you and your listeners know, that there are no laws about this, and now we're thrust into this issue of different churches, and can you be a transgender and still be a Christian? And the Metropolitan Community Church of New York deals with this with their phrase on their website called "God Made Me Queer," and to be pastoral or to be Christian, how you work with this is to understand where they're coming from and to be good listeners, but not to compromise the Word of God, and to teach people here's kind of what God has to say over against what they're saying, and to try and move from an identity of transgender into baptismal identity. And that has to be the shift, and that makes things, as you have said, this is tough in the sense of learning about it, because it is quite complex. But in one sense, we have to, I think, start to learn about how these people are thinking and why they do what they do, so that we can be good listeners and proclaim Christ to them as well as to all people.
Well, Well, certainly it's going to be a topic that we'll be addressing quite a bit, I'm sure, in 2016 that we'll have to. What do you propose will be the other hot topics in 2016?
Well, you know, we have the election stuff coming up, mm-hmm. and I still think this whole issue of elective abortion is still going to be, as most people are thinking, a hot topic. But I really do, and I know this is kind of old stuff again that we just talked about, but I think this whole issue of what does it mean to be human in terms of our sexual identity in Christ over against our sexual identity in this culture of change, with this transgender issue becoming more and more prominent. Many people thought that when the gay marriage thing was sort of going to die out, all of a sudden, boom, it's now accepted in all 50 states. I think we're going to see something like that in the political side, the left-hand kingdom, working in that area as well. So I think we just have to be more educated and more listeners and more reading and studying the Bible in this area. So I think this whole issue, what it means to be human from a Christian viewpoint, mm-hmm. is the area that we need to really be focusing on now and in the future.
That's right. What does it mean to be human? That's going to be the question, I think, of... Well, probably for the next couple of years, what does it mean to be human and all the issues that we'll be addressing when we
been
live.
Around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, a long time. And I think Christmas gives us and affords us an opportunity to look into that even better.
Absolutely. What does the incarnation of God mean for us as humans?
Yeah, precisely, because as the writers of the Old and New Testament, he became like one of us in every way. So he was a human being from his conception, albeit very different than ours, of course, through the work of the Holy Spirit. But yet he was a human being. God, you know, took on human flesh and left his heavenly domain and to come down to here and to proclaim and redeem the world from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And he certainly accomplished that. And we just don't want to leave him in the manger on Christmas Day. And remember, there is the connection to Epiphany and to Easter as well. And this just keeps going on and on and on, the story of Christ and us.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Blessed nativity for you and your family this week, and we'll talk again in the new year.
And to you and your family, too, Andy, and to all your listeners, God bless you and have a blessed Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll study the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Warren Graff at Grace Lutheran Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hope you can join us for that study and more of his time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Mm-hmm.